This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And inside the studio, I'm seated right beside Charlie Dobbin.
And I'm like oohing and aahing over some photos I've just brought up on
the monitor here. Audubon Society provided.
Photography Awards, because I just mentioned to Frank, next weekend, the great backyard bird count starts.
More on that in a bit.
Yes, because of course you have to do all your shout-outs first.
I've only got one shout-out right
really?
About now.
Really? Only one?
That's to my buddy Mark Giles, who at this very moment is enduring the wrath of Shirley.
Oh.
She's got the whip out, and he's delivering wood out to the back of the house there.
Oh,
yeah. So he's going to help her get it all tarped up.
And so you just like sneak out the door to come and do radio.
Yeah, and then,
Shirley,
then I arrange that I'm not there when all the work is to be done.
Excellent. You are clever.
Oh, well, I tell you. Little rascal. Any problems for you on the drive-in?
Not at all. No. Roads are moving along. There was no accidents or anything like that.
So well, up in the Newmarket area, much more snow, of course, than they had in Toronto.
In town here,
downtown. But I understand we might be in front of the slam.
Tonight, they're talking freezing rain and snow tomorrow. So I'm, hunker down. Make sure you put another log on the fire, so to speak.
You've got it. Okay.
Don't be going anywhere.
Yeah, phone I better numbers. Give up the phone numbers.
We do like people to call us, don't we?
This is the Garden Show, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the number if you are in the Toronto area, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. A little mantra is, call early, call often, one question per call. And indeed, if you're a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know and... you'll hear that little bell.
That's right. You get a workout, and our caller gets their garden wings.
Exactly.
Speaking of wings, look.
Yeah.
So if you go, this is such an amazing photograph, www.audubon.org, photo awards. Somebody actually took this picture. I think their name is actually here. See, it's a bald eagle and great blue heron.
Bonnie Block.
She was the 2016 grand winner. So there's a bald eagle coming in for a landing onto water, I guess, but they don't really land on water. It's probably going to grab one of these herons. There's a whole bunch of blue herons also in the picture. So crystal clear, though.
Absolutely beautiful.
Okay, enough about birds. Let's talk about gardening.
All right.
Today and tomorrow, remember, the Southern Ontario Orchid Show is on at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 11 till 5, both days. General admission is only $12, cash at the door. You can get a $2 off coupon in advance by going to www.sam.ca. And of course, it's a great show. Terry joined us last week to share some of her knowledge. And of course, there's hundreds of orchid enthusiasts at the show, happy to share their knowledge as well. So if you like orchids, or you just want to go off into the land of crazy flowers, make sure you get out to the show. This Monday, 8 p.m. at night, join the Agent Court Garden Club to laugh, learn, and have dessert.
Well,
they're fun. Meeting at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd. The guest speaker are the master gardeners who will be teaching everybody about fabulous foliage, which is, plants typically when we have a lot of shade in our gardens. People love color. And so it's hard. Many plants don't flower in a lot of shade. Typically what we find is that early spring is when the shade plants bloom because that's when the most sun gets through and the leaves aren't out on the trees yet. And then come June, July, August, it's all shady and everything's green. So knowing and using fabulous foliage in those shady areas can really brighten things up because of some amazing plants with some amazing foliage,
well,
not just plain old boring green. Right?
Yeah.
So learn more about that on Monday. Mark your calendars. Get the Jump on Spring. This is an annual event. Every year, the Toronto Botanical Gardens hosts the Jump on Spring. It is this year, Saturday, February
18th. That even sounds
18th.
Nice to say.
Yeah.
Jump on Spring. Yeah. Like it's maybe just around the corner.
Yeah, get the Jump on Spring. And it's always just before spring.
Yeah.
Well, more than just before, a full month before, but still. It's exhibitors, it is guest speakers, it's food, it's all about
the
buzz.
Whole ball of wax.
Yeah, and it's quite, again, a fun event. It's completely free. They do love a donation. If you can give a $2 donation at the door, your name will be entered into a box of for prizes. And every hour they pull out a name and prizes are given out, so that's quite fun. So free parking, free admission, lots going on, vendors and speakers, et cetera, et cetera. So go to the torontobotanicalgarden.ca for more information on that. And then all the way, well, we don't need to go all the way to February 26th, but I will tell you, I want to share a poinsettia email that one of our listeners sent. And I won't do that now, but perhaps we'll have a minute or so between callers.
Okay.
And we can talk a bit about poinsettia success.
All righty. Well, we'll be chatting with our listeners in just moments here. Sharon from West Lorne. We're going to say hi to Sharon in just a couple of moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, let's go to the phone lines, Charlie.
All righty.
There, out in West Lorne, is Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. What I'm calling about is, I was listening to the radio yesterday. Excuse me. I've got a little bit of a...
A frog.
Ribble, yeah. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and one of your little blurbs came on that you have on for advertising and whatever about your show.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about, Valentine's Day coming up, and the tulips were becoming more the flower to give and whatever and that, too.
Yeah.
But then you mentioned about putting them in the vase and that they move. I found that very interesting. I never noticed that before, but anyway.
Yeah, Frank hasn't heard it.
What I wanted to know was, then you mentioned about putting tulips and daffodils together.
Right.
Now, do you mean in the vase
exactly.
or in the ground type thing?
Only, I was talking about cut flowers.
Yeah,
so daffodils
daffodils
as a cut flower must stand alone, meaning they must be the only species in the vase.
Oh, really?
They actually exude a toxic chemical from their stems, and they will kill all the other cut flowers in the vase.
That's daffodils.
Yeah, daffodils.
Oh,
yeah. So you never mix them. Always have your daffs alone.
I see. Well, I wondered whether it was together because I thought, well, I've planted daffodils and tulips together.
Oh, of course.
And they are just beautiful.
Of course.
But,
yeah, me too.
I didn't know whether about the vase and whatever and that too, but I wondered why.
Yeah, well, and think about the daffodil bulb that is also toxic. You know, when a squirrel digs one up, they go, oh, damn, it's a daffodil, and they throw it over their shoulder.
Yeah,
but, you know, they dig up a tulip and they go,
well,
yummy, there's, my snack.
Right.
So,
okay, thank you very much and have a good day.
Thanks,
and all that snow and whatever you've got down there.
All right,
you're
Sharon.
In snow, snow belt.
Right. You bet.
Bye now.
Thanks, Sharon. Have a great day and great weekend for
Frank, just before you go to the next caller, what Sharon was talking about is because you have a puzzled look.
Yeah.
What tulips do that no other cut flower does is they keep growing after they've been cut.
Oh, really?
So if you have a vase and you stick a dozen tulips into it and you walk away and come back 24 hours later, the tulips will not be where you left them. They are continuing to grow, so they're going to be elongated. Plus, they're going to respond to wherever the light is, wherever the window is. So they'll do this twisty, turny towards the light, plus they'll be actually growing. And so that we consider them like a dancing flower in that sense.
Is that the only species that does that?
That I know of, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat.
Cool.
Yeah, they're fun that way.
Good stuff. All righty. Let's go on to the phone lines again, this time Well, there's our old friend Josephine in Pickering. Good
another
morning.
Another old friend.
Good
Welcome.
Morning. How are you?
Excellent.
Great.
That's good. I was debating whether I'd go out and shovel the snow, and I thought, no, not until I talk to the three of you.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay, it's the Hoyas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I transplanted them into potting soil, but I'm beginning to think it's the wrong potting soil.
Why?
I don't know. I got the regular potting soil, but I'm wondering if it should be in a tropical potting soil.
Well, it should be in a very well-drained, almost like a cactus potting soil. So something that's got that is either very large particles, so very, very well-drained, or a soilless mix or a potting soil that is, designed for super good drainage, which would be like a cactus or succulent soil.
So sand and soil.
Yeah.
Ah, so the ordinary potting soil that you buy is no good.
Well, not necessarily. If it just
it takes a longer time for them to take hold.
Okay, well, if it's the kind of soil that's just really, really slow to dry out, just cut way back on your watering. I mean, that's the trick with the Hoya. The only way you're going to kill it is with overwatering. So, stick your fingers in there, make sure it's, dry, firm soil between waterings, whether it's a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Don't hesitate to wait.
Remember, I told you this plant has not bloomed since my mother died.
I know, but you're going to do the right thing and it's going to
flower. Oh, I'm going to get it blooming if it kills me.
I know.
All right.
And you're going to let us know.
I will let you know. Okay. Have a good weekend, the three of you.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay,
and thanks so much. When she first said the three of us, I thought, wait a minute, just you and I. Of course, Sebastian.
Yeah. I know. Josephine and Sebastian go way back.
There you are. And Sebastian is the guy who handles all the calls. So, indeed, when you get through on the lines, and I'm going to give a plug to the phone lines right now because we have room for a couple of callers, okay? Say hi to Sebastian. Here in Toronto, it's 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And we'll be along in a moment to say hi to Margaret in Cambridge right after these words.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And just one little plug again for the phone lines. We do have two lines open right now, 416-360-0740, and anywhere in the province toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. But right now, out to Cambridge we go. There's Margaret. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good. I'm calling about planting garlic. Mm-hmm. I'm aware that it should be planted in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But the garden centers are selling the bulbs in the spring. I was just wondering, can it be planted in the spring?
It can. You just won't have as large of a crop.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So even if you can put it in the ground as soon as it's workable?
Yep. As soon as the ground thaws, you want to get it in the ground. And make sure it goes into sunny spot and a soil that is a well-drained soil because it's a bulb. And so it's not a spot that's super wet all the time. Otherwise, the bulb will rot. So you'll grow the garlic just like you would when you plant. Oh, the difference is that when you plant in the fall, we put the garlic in, it stays dormant, but it does put a bunch of roots out in the fall. And so it gets a little bit established before winter hits. And then as soon as the soil starts to thaw and a little bit of warmth starts to arrive, it shoots up. So it just, you get a bit of a jump on the season. But you'll do the exact same thing. You'll watch for when the flowers come up, the flower scapes, they're called, and you'll remove those in order to encourage the bulb to grow underground. And then once the leaves are two-thirds yellow, then you will harvest.
Oh, okay. So you have to remove those flowers.
Yeah, you have to. And you can eat them, of course.
Oh. But,
yeah, and actually harvest them. They look like a pigtail. They come up and they get a twirl on the stem.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow those flowers to open because a lot of energy goes into forming those flowers and then actually, opening those flowers. And that will rob carbohydrates and energy from growing the bulb underground.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And then it's two-third yellow?
Yeah.
When the plant is two-third or a third?
Well, no, about two-thirds yellow. I usually, when about half the leaves have turned yellow, I'll usually dig up one just to see what it looks like. Because there's an optimal time to harvest garlic. Too late, and all the outer papery, it's called a tunic, starts to all peel off, which makes it very difficult to store, you know, the bulbs for a few months. Too early, and they don't have as much flavor, and they aren't as big, obviously, as they're going to get. So there's an optimal time, and it's kind of dependent on the kind of summer we have.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks for calling.
Garlic to me, oh my! My favorite meal, honestly, is spaghetti and butter with garlic in it, and just drizzled over, and then some pepper on top of that.
Like fresh garlic drizzled.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. You fry it up a little
bit, of course,
in butter.
Oh, I see.
And then pour all of that over the spaghetti, and oh my god!
All that garlic.
But don't do when I. I remember one time I was looking after the kids. My wife at that time was out in Edmonton doing a directing a show. And so I was trying to remember how many buds of garlic.
Cloves.
And so I kept adding and adding.
Until?
I almost poisoned myself. The next day,
everything was
exuding garlic.
But boy, you were healthy for a while,
I bet. I'll tell you, and nobody came near me.
Exactly. Didn't pick up any bugs from anybody.
That's right.
And you didn't share with your boys?
Yeah, I can't remember, to be honest with you. Maybe I did.
They probably wouldn't have eaten.
Yeah. Hey, there's Faye in Toronto. Good morning, Faye.
Morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, first time caller.
Wait. I'm sorry. Just a second, Faye.
There you go.
There
welcome.
We
good morning.
Good morning.
I have a desert rose.
Mm-hmm.
It blooms, but before, like the little buds turn brown and fall. Am I overwatering or underwatering or what?
Okay, so when you say a desert rose, is it actually like a mini rose, a miniature rose?
No. A desert rose comes originally from South Africa, and it has a big bottom, like a big head down, and then stands up. And they have four or five beautiful buds. But since I got it, I had it only once blooming. Other than that, each time the tiny little buds turn brown and fall. I never had them bloom.
How long have you had this plant?
Oh, we bought it from the food terminal.
Oh yeah,
and
was it last
one of the
summer?
Grower, and we paid over $100 for that plant. And I had it for a few years.
Oh, okay, but you've kept it alive, so that's important.
Oh, it's alive.
Okay, good. So, you know what's the bottom line? I'm just looking it up here quickly. Desert rose, the proper name is Adenium, A-D as in Dobbin, E-N-I-U-M. And you're right, this is a very much of a desert-type plant. So the trick is lots of sun, like in the brightest, most sunny location you can put it indoors. And then, of course, I would get it outdoors in the summer, again, into a sunny spot. But water sparingly. It says here, summer rainfall is enough to keep the plant flourishing in all but the worst drought conditions. Mm. So, and do some fertilizing in the spring and summer if you wish, all-purpose fertilizer, following the directions, of course, on the fertilizer package. But it is a slow-growing plant. There's no pruning required. And it's just, should be allowed to, absorb all that sunshine. And if it gets enough sun and, frankly, some stress along the way, it will flower. Because that's typically what causes the flowering for so many plants. If you look after them too well, then they just go, oh, this is good. I don't need to flower. I'll just put out more leaves. But once they're stressed a bit, they'll often put out some
Let them kind of dry.
Yep. Dry then, right down between waterings.
Okay.
Okay. Do not keep this plant wet.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Babe, have a wonderful day. Have a good weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And in advance, happy Valentine's Day.
That's right. And that is an interesting plant. Look at it. I've never grown that. But you can see, look at the stem on it. It's like a tree
very
trunk.
Yeah. It's big.
Yeah.
It's big. 9:32 here on The Garden Show as we take a little trip to Pickering. And there's Charlie. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sitting here in my bedroom, which is facing north, looking at my mountain ash tree, which was absolutely loaded with berries this year.
Uh-huh.
It's now loaded with berries and birds.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And would you believe I've had robins here all winter?
Yeah, that's we were saying that. I saw robins, too, and Frank.
I was up in Mount Albert about four weeks ago, and honest to Pete, I couldn't believe it. There are about 8 robins, and real fat guys.
Yeah.
You know? Fat robins. Gotta love them. Yep, that's what we call climate change. You know, it wasn't that long ago that the robins flew south, but now they're just going, oh, this is fine.
Yeah.
we're good.
Yeah, picnic. Yeah, no problem.
Well, I guess as long as they have food to eat, they're okay.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I feed birds. I have, feeders, and I keep them stocked.
Yeah,
that's
well,
great.
I don't let my mountain ash do it.
Yeah, and so you should be participating in the Great Backyard Bird Count. You can lie in bed and do it.
That
just
starts
about.
Next week?
Yeah, it
next
starts
weekend.
Next Friday. Do you know about it? Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have heard about it.
Yeah, because I mean, you don't have to go outside. For some people, like yourself, you could just, wherever you've got birds coming to, whether it's a feeder or a tree or, you know, a bird bath, it's a pond or anything.
And you enter this your information into a website.
Yeah, and it's just 15 minutes. It's what varieties of birds and the quantity of birds you see of those varieties. So, say you see 5 robins and a blue jay and 2 cardinals in that 15-minute time frame, that's what you send in. And it's so amazing. I love this program because, like, for example, last year, I've just got the numbers here from last year, there were people, of course, from all over the world participate in this, 162,052 different checklists were sent in. So over 162,000 checklists. So those are people 15 minutes counting and sending in their results.
Well, that's great.
Neat, eh? Yeah. Sorry, but I'm sure, Charlie, you didn't call about that, did you?
Well, it's okay.
Did you have a question?
Thanks. No, I didn't have a question. I just wanted to share about all those birds.
Mountain ash full of birds. Love it.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's terrific. Thank you very much,
Charlie.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And that's the first time we've had another Charlie on the show.
I know, a female Charlie.
Yes, indeed. 9:30, almost 9:35, as we go to Siva in Toronto. Hi, Siva. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
Good
I just
morning.
Wanted to let Charlie know my amaryllis is just about coming in.
Oh, nice.
So I was about to give up on it, but the flower is coming in now.
There you go.
Okay.
There. That and might just be blooming for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
There
I
you
think
go.
So. Okay.
There you go. Thanks for letting us know.
Yes. And Frank, that dish you talked about, that's my dish every weekend.
Oh, really?
It's the best there is.
Isn't it? Oh.
Garlic, butter, and pasta.
I just put my garlic on a plane and slice it nicely, saute it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best.
There you are, Siva.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Kindred spirits.
We are just going to, the garden show gets culinary. Grow garlic.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. I'd love to grow garlic, actually.
Yes, you know what? We may just work something for you.
Alrighty.
Work something out there.
9:35. Oh, and the lines are completely open now. Okay?
They are.
416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province of Ontario is free to call 1-866-740-4740.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Have you planned to some little Valentine's surprise for your sweetie?
We are going out.
I guess we shouldn't say it too loud. She might listening.
No,
right?
she knows about this. We're going out to spend a lovely evening with some friends on Valentine's Day. Our Eve,
dinner theater, I think. Isn't it dinner musical stuff?
That's right.
Nice.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the little spot we're going to. Gosh.
You'll look
up. Yeah, I'll look it up. Oh, Southside Bistro. That's in the Markham Highway 7 area. And we're going to be hearing a gentleman who sings a wonderful voice, and he does impersonations of, like, Engelbert Humperdinck and Louis Armstrong and
throw underwear.
Okay,
but the reason I was asking is because if you were thinking about perhaps getting some flowers for your love, loved one. There, it's important to recognize that there's a lot of meaning to the color of flowers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things to be aware of. I mean, sometimes, you know, you love somebody very much and you give them some yellow flowers and they look it up and go, yellow flowers mean I'm your friend. It yeah. doesn't mean you love me. It just means we're friends. So you got to be careful what these things, you know, colors mean. So, for example, you know, pink flowers, it's all about sweetness. So it's like, you know, you're my sweetie or whatever when you give pink. Red being the classic one about passion and love. But I just said, you know.
Romance.
Yes, right? Yes. And of course, then there's the white. White is all about honesty, purity, innocence. So it's, you know, again, you're
those
sending.
Those are the ones that I was going to say,
yeah, that'd be you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, right.
Surely you'll get you some white flowers, maybe.
And,
but just, you know, just something to think about, that's all.
Okay. Back to our phone lines here. Mm-hmm. We have,
Rosemary.
There's Rosemary. Okay. Fort Erie. Welcome to the show, Rosemary.
Thank you. I'm calling about my husband's containers that he had this summer.
Mm-hmm.
He had spike plants in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't throw them out.
Okay.
They put them in the garage.
Okay, yeah.
And they're actually looking quite not bad at all. And he just made the comment, I wonder if I'm going to keep them through till the spring.
Yeah.
And what do I do with them?
Well, okay, so is your garage insulated?
No.
And is there any light in your garage, like windows?
Well, there's one window, yes.
Mm. And they're just sitting there in the pots?
Yeah,
and
they're sitting there.
Okay, so what'll be interesting will be to see if they do survive. They might not. It depends mm-hmm. how much cold they've been subjected to and for how long. They are a tropical plant.
I knew that.
So they will, you know, they'll take cool temperatures, no question. They'll take it right down to zero, but not for prolonged time. Like if it's a 12 or 24-hour freezing situation, the plant will likely die. But you
well,
won't.
They've been there since this, like since. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. And they probably look good. They're standing there green and, you know, spiky as they are.
Oh, yeah.
It is a Dracaena, usually, that is your spike plant. So what will happen is in the spring, when we get some nice weather, haul them out into the sun for an hour or two on a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you're going to be able to see they're either going to keep standing strong and fresh, or they're going to keel right over and turn to mush right before your eyes.
Okay.
Okay, so that'll be that. That's when you'll know. And it's great if they can survive because, you know, what they just get better, right?
They're
and,
huge.
Yeah.
They're absolutely huge.
And I know it's nice to overwinter stuff like that if you can. I've got pot in my garage, too.
Yeah, we have no place to put them other than he just dragged them in the garage and said, I can't throw these out.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame him. You know what? I do the same thing. I dragged a pot of gladiola bulbs and a whole bunch of sort of tender bulbs into my garage, wrapped it all up in blankets and see if it survives.
He's done nothing. They're just sitting there beside, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so we'll take them outside when it gets warm and see what happens.
See what happens. Let us know. I'd be interested to hear what, I mean, you're in a pretty warm part neck of the woods there, so you never know. They might survive.
Oh, I'm across the river from Buffalo, New York, you know.
I know.
Yeah, oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, so you got lots of hot air coming your way.
Your
sorry. Don't hate me. No. If the ground is frozen, then do not water them.
No, I mean when he puts them outside.
Yeah, yep, definitely. You'll probably find it's going to start warming up. You know, the days are going to get warmer.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is going to beat down on the garage. So at some point, when the soil feels very dry, assuming, again, that the plants are still standing up and looking quite strong. Probably by early to mid-March, you're going to want to water them.
Okay, well, okay. I'll call you back and let you know what happens.
For sure. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Rosemary. Yeah, nice to have you along here as we extend that to all our listeners.
I love people's stories.
Yeah.
It's all about the stories.
It is.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Coming up to 9:41, and we'll be along. We've got two first-time callers waiting online, and we'll be back and chat with them in just moments here on The Garden Show. Let you know the phone numbers again here, 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie and I shall return with more conversations regarding coming up here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And just before we head back to the phone lines, we have now four first-time callers online.
Nice.
We'll be to you in just a minute, folks. But you have an email to
deal with. I just wanted to share with you quickly a success story. This is from Karen in Cayuga. And what she's doing is sending me a photograph of her poinsettia, which was from a couple of years back. Yep. And, of course, they're green plants after Christmas. And they're okay, green plants all summer. She followed my advice. She put this plant into the dark for, every 24 hours, into the dark for 12, into the light for 12,
right,
back to the dark, into the light. So it's a bit of a fiddly process, but you do that for a couple of weeks, and before you know it, your green poinsettia is now turned red. So she sent a photograph and just said, she's very, very proud. She's happy. She did share this with some local Facebook buy, sell, and advice sites. And she didn't do exactly what I told her to do, but she did it for about 2 weeks and whatever, it did it the worked. Trick. And she's super proud and happy. And,
well, that's great.
Showed you a picture of her here. Okay. So thanks for letting me know, Karen. I love to hear the feedback.
Absolutely. Well, here, my bell ringing arm about to get a real workout
feedback.
Here. Hey, that's for Catherine and Vaughn. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
I have a question.
Yeah.
My daughter bought heirloom vegetable seeds,
mm-hmm.
and she's wondering about companion planting for optimal growth and vegetable returns. Is there a book we can buy?
You know what? Any books on the subject are kind of changing constantly. You know what? Leave that with me. I will report back. Does your daughter have access to the internet?
Yes.
Okay, so leave that with me. I'm going to report back either before this show is over or the top of next week's show on my best either website or book or both for updated information on companion planting, because it's always been a story about, this does well with that, or, plant garlic with your roses and it'll protect the roses from aphids. The three sisters, you might have heard of the three sisters. That's the corn being one of the sisters, stands up tall. The beans grow up the corn, using the corn as a way to get up into the sun, and squash grows at the bottom. So, we've got these certain plants will do better in the presence of each other. But it's always been anecdotal. In the last few years, there has been some real scientific, super good research done. And that's why I just thought, the real bottom line, good information. Let me see what I can provide you that way.
That's wonderful.
There's good stories, but there's also good science behind it.
And thanks for being a first-time caller.
Yeah,
okay,
don't be a stranger.
Have a good day.
You bet. Thank you. Hey, out in marking time is Neville. Good F, first-time caller.
Again.
There you go. Hi,
welcome.
Neville.
Thank you very much. Hi, Charlie. Want to ask you about the camellia plant.
Yes.
Camellia japonica.
Yep.
I bought one last year in the early summer, and I brought it indoors over the winter.
Right. You had to. It would die.
It won't take that heavy cold.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that it has been shedding a lot of leaves coming off, dropping off. And I just got one bloom about a week ago.
Oh, wow. But good for you. They are not easy to grow inside. Partially, it's because what a camellia wants is very difficult for us to give. Our homes in the wintertime tend to be very dry and very warm, 24 hours a day. A camellia wants more humidity than we can usually give. So right away, make sure that you've got a pebble tray below the camellia. And that would just be, a tray, a shallow tray, whether it's a cookie sheet or something like that, with the plant sitting on gravel. In the tray, the gravel's in the tray, the plant is on the gravel, and there's water in the tray always. So there's that extra humidity being provided by that water, which is evaporating all the time around the camellia. That will help hold the buds, because once they form a bud, they have a tendency to drop because of the lack of humidity. The other thing camellia wants is they want cool nighttime temperatures. Do you turn your thermostat down at night?
No, but it's not in a very warm spot.
Okay. Yeah, so they want lots of light, and yes, they don't want too much heat. That's the bottom line on that one as well. So yeah, if you have a spot that's cool in your house, but it's really bright, certainly that's a good spot for it. if you like,
with a lamp or something.
Yes, if you don't have a good sunny window, then yes, I would get a grow light.
Okay.
Yeah, they want lots of light.
Yeah, so, but I was surprised that they want what I got.
I know.
Beautiful flower.
I know.
But it grows almost, it seems to be growing off older stems.
Uh-huh.
Is that a feature of the plant?
That it blooms on older wood?
Yes,
actually. So what you're doing now is you're encouraging new growth because plants, they know the days are getting longer and they are starting to get a little excited about these longer days. And we are going to see growth from our house plants, even if they don't, you know, they're not in front of a window. They know that the days are getting longer and will start to, you know, get excited. So your job is to fertilize the plant, and I would use fertilizer for acid-loving plants. So make sure you've got that on hand. Follow the instructions. Don't use it every time you water, of course, maybe once a month. And I'd get that plant outside for the summer. It would love to be out in the humidity and the, you know, you don't have to put it in full sun outside. Sort of morning sun, afternoon shade would work fine outdoors. And just water as necessary.
When might it be good to take it outdoors?
Once we're frost-free. And when you take it out, you're going to take it out gently. So you'll, at first, you know, if we're getting nice weather in May, you'll take it out during the day for an hour or two and then bring it in for the night. And, you know, the next day, take it out for 2 or 3 hours and then bring it in for the night. After 10 days or so, and we're frost free, you know, guaranteed, you're watching the weather forecasts, leave it outside and then slowly introduce it to brighter conditions outdoors.
This plant is about 3 feet tall.
Nice.
And it came in the original pot, which is about 12 inches, I think.
Yep.
Should I repot? And
No, probably not. You'll know it's time to repot when roots start to grow out the bottom drainage holes of the pot. And a 12-inch pot is a good-sized pot for now. I wouldn't repot it at all.
Yeah, Neville, we have to kind of move along. But
thanks for your call, though. Let us know how that goes.
Okay. Some other folks are waiting online. And two, as I mentioned, two first-time callers.
Yeah. So, well, Neville was a first-time caller,
yes,
too.
Yes, indeed.
So don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. And Charlie and I shall return after these words.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, you heard that little bell.
Yeah, you're getting your sneaking arm all ready to go there.
That first-time bell ring is for Barbara in Cambridge. Good morning, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Last year I planted a butterfly bush.
Mm-hmm.
And it got about 3 feet high, and I had lots of blooms, but nice. I didn't do anything with it as it's cutting it down.
Yep, that's good. I never cut my butterfly bush down in the fall.
Oh, okay.
What you're going to do in the spring, as we start to, you know, spring arrives, the snow melts, the ground starts to warm up, what you will discover is that that plant, depending on the winter, depending on how much wind it was exposed to and how cold we get as the winter progresses, sometimes I lose everything above ground on my butterfly bush, and I have to cut it right down to ground level, basically, because I can see little green buds growing right down at the ground, and everything above that's dead. When we have a mild winter, though, I'll find that sometimes I'll have growth, you know, 2-3 feet up, still, you know, alive, and then I only have to cut, you know, 2 or 3 feet off the top of the branches. So it's just a question of cutting back to live wood when it becomes obvious what's alive and what's dead.
Oh, so you have to wait.
Yeah.
So say in the winter, should I try to protect it with some burlap or anything?
I wouldn't. I assume it's in a sunny location.
It's kind of exposed to
the wind,
north and south.
Yeah, so it's getting the south sun, but is it sitting out by itself somewhere, or is it in a garden with other plants?
Pretty well by itself. Yeah.
Well, I think you'll have to see. I mean,
okay.
You're right. Exposed and all by itself, it is a zone 5 plant. And where you are in Cambridge, you might be zone 5.
All right.
But you also might be zone 6, depending on sort of what, you know, there's microclimates all over the place. So see how it looks in the spring. Because sometimes people do lose butterfly bushes over the winter just because of that. I think they're just too exposed to the elements. So if it is doesn't survive, hopefully it's a guaranteed plant and you could get another one. And maybe you could come up with a location to put it where it's just going to get a little less of that northwest exposure, a little less northwest wind,
okay,
and lots of southern sun.
They
and
only last usually a few years anyway, don't they? Or do
I've had one that's been in my garden for probably 18, 20 years.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and it's right on a west wall. It's right against a west wall, so it gets all that sun beating on the wall, which is warm, but it does get some wind for sure as well.
Okay. So,
well, good
all
luck
right, well, then I know what to do in the spring.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks for calling.
And keep in touch, okay? Lines are open for
Don't
everyone.
Be a stranger. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
We're here every Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, hey, another bell ring here. This is for Tommy in Brantford. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I have several large plant containers next to a west-facing wall. The containers don't get sun until about 2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had some success growing with petunias in them, but I would like to know if there's anything else I can try. The containers are sheltered by a really big overhanging eave, so the plants have to be watered by hand.
Right. Would you be interested in growing things you could eat? Because you could, in that situation, grow lots of, like, leaf lettuce and some... You could grow parsley.
It's at the front of my house. I would like it to look a wee bit nicer than
you
want that.
Pretty. Well, but there's some pretty herbs out there. Okay. Well, west wall, sun after 2, but it is a hot sun when you get the sun.
Yes.
Oops, sorry. I'm breathing into the mic there. Because I'm flashing on things like, you know what would be probably really nice would be coleus, because coleus do very well in situations where they only get even an hour of sun a day. And there's some beautiful coleus out there. And of course,
I grow coleus, but not in the plant. I never tried them in the planter.
Oh, okay.
The fibrous begonia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any of the begonias would do fine. Fibrous or tuberous. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind, though, that hot sun is just, you know, that hot late afternoon sun, you'll just have to recognize that they might look like they're dry when the sun is beating down on them and their leaves will all get limp, but they aren't really dry if you touch the soil.
You just feel the soil, you test the soil.
Yeah, before you water, because they will, we call that, they flag in the heat, and because that west sun can be so hot, so just realize that about them. There's some great shrubs, too, you could probably put in there, some small, like, miniature, would you want shrubs or you like annuals?
No, the shrubs would be fine.
Because there's some really sweet, there's a miniature Wigilla called My Monet, which is very, very nice. It's you can look that one up in a book or on the web and see if that grabs you. It's a great-looking plant, blooms pretty well all summer as well. So thanks, Tommy.
Thank you very much for the call.
We're almost at a racetrack, as
yes,
we say.
Yes, indeed we are.
Where did the hour go?
I don't know. Zing.
No
gone.
No kidding.
Gone.
No kidding. So Valentine's Day coming up. We're all ready for lots of fun with our sweethearts. And the great backyard bird count starting Friday
Absolutely.
And all next weekend. So get ready with your pens and paper.
Tomorrow, I'm heading out to a little birthday celebration. Quinn, my
now
10-year-old granddaughter,
yes,
is having a birthday bash in Hamilton. So I'll be seeing the gang there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, you have fun doing that. And
all right.
I'm doing my usual. Visiting the family and all that sort of stuff, and shoveling snow, I'm sure. So,
have a great weekend, everybody.
Yes, and thank you, Sebastian. Thanks to our great callers, and congratulations. I think we had more first-time callers today than ever.
Five. Yeah,
wow.
That was incredible.
Thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.